You know, Psalmist David wrote that, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so true that the human body and with our mind and spirit is just an amazing feat of God's creation. I want to look tonight at one part of that, and that's the hearing part that we have, our ears and how we use them. You know, it's interesting things with our ears. All of us have selective hearing, whether you know it or not. And it's natural. Every one of us has a sound loud in their ears right now that you don't hear. The loudest noise you hear day by day, blocked by your body, is your heartbeat. It just pounds against your eardrums, but you don't hear it. It's a natural thing that protects us from that noise. Well, that's inside, but there's a lot of noise outside. And around us in the world, there's a lot to distract us from what we should be doing. You know, God wants us to hear Him, but the devil has a lot of sounds in the world, a lot of noise out there to keep us from doing that, and that's his goal. So it really behooves us to know as much about hearing and listening as we can so that we might do God's will. The scripture reading that we had a few minutes ago spoke of people's hearts growing dull, being dull of hearing and so forth, so they could not hear or understand. But I wanted to talk a little bit, first of all, of a couple of types of hearing, and one being the dull of hearing. Well, dull in the Greek comes from the word nothros, which literally means sluggish, lazy, or stupid. And it's kind of the intent of being hard to move, hard to kind of get going, just not responsive. The Hebrew Christians were like this. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read in verse 11, and talking about Jesus, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. There's a lot they could tell them about Jesus, but because they really don't, they're not listening well, they don't understand, it's hard to explain it to them. Well, having become dull of hearing implies that they were at one time not dull of hearing, because you have become dull of hearing. Well, anyone who's a Christian at one time or another has heard the gospel and has received that and internalized that to become a Christian. But after being a Christian for a while, many will become dull of hearing. And it's something that happens over time because of what we routinely listen to, what we allow into our hearing. Well, we note that when a person has this problem, you know, it's really hard for other people to explain things to them. And it's not a problem necessarily with the speaker, although many of us are not great orators and so forth for explaining things. And certainly the subject matter is perfect. It turns out to be, most of the time, the hearer. What are they willing to listen to? What are they willing to respond to? Well, how do you become dull of hearing? Perhaps it's getting out of the practice of listening, of good listening skills, choosing what we want to hear, and tuning out what we don't want to hear. And we do that every day. It reminds me of when our children were babies. In the middle of the night, you know, the babies would cry, and Laisha would wake up to the cry and go take care of them. Well, I never heard the cry. But in the morning at 5 o'clock or so, when my alarm went off, I heard that, and I woke up where Laisha never heard that. So we tuned ourselves to certain sounds and kind of tuned out the others. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But some things we can tune out if we put our minds to it, really. It's a practice. But we have to be careful what it is we're tuning out and what it is that we tune into, what we tune our ears to hear. Jesus talked about the problem of being dull to hear in Matthew chapter 13. And it really molded the way he talked, the way he spoke to people in his day. In Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophet of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Sounds just like the scripture we read earlier in Acts 28. It's actually the same quote from Isaiah that Paul uses, Jesus uses here. Well, what it says is that if you're dull of heart, that you're unable to, according to the last verse here, to understand God's truth. If you're dull of heart or dull of hearing, you're unable to turn from sin to God. And then as a result, the last part of the verse, receive the healing that God has for you. So it's important not to be this type of listener. And who wants to be this type of listener, really? To be dull of hearing. Yeah, a lot of Christians are prone to this. Yes. I didn't realize that. Can you hear me okay?
It's just in and out.
Okay. In James chapter 1, we get more of this, and we're encouraged to guard against. Thank you. You want this one? Can you hear me better? Everybody hear me okay? Okay. I feel like it's right in my face. If I have to speak louder, just say so. In James chapter 1, we're encouraged to guard against being this type of listener. In James 1, starting in verse 21, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, if you think about someone who's knows there's something they need to do in order to live, but they're not doing it, that sounds pretty dull to me. In every definition of the word in the Greek. Sluggish, lazy, really stupid, just to be blunt. If you know that you will die as a result of not doing something, why won't you do it? But that's what we face every day in our spiritual lives, and people don't realize it. Well, it seems the key to avoid being dull of hearing, according to James here, is to hear with meekness and actively do God's will, so that we can be active listeners that follow through on what they hear. Well, another type of listener that we hear about in the scriptures are those with itching ears. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about these type of people, selfish, self-pleasing, self-seeking folks. Well, Peter describes these in 2 Peter 4, starting in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. These people only listen to what is pleasing to them and makes them feel good about themselves, and they don't like sound doctrine, which often requires the type of preaching mentioned in the previous verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, which says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Well, people don't like to be rebuked. They don't like to be told that they're doing things wrong. They'd rather have a feel-good message to themselves. But sometimes we need that. You know, they'll find teachers that they want to hear from that will tell them nice things, reassure them that everything's okay, and turn them away from truth into fables or beliefs that are not based on scriptural truth. Well, many today are afflicted by this problem. There's an epidemic of people in our nation who seek out religious organizations that will say everybody's going to be okay, you know, just believe and you're fine, not really looking at the Scriptures and seeing exactly what God's truth is, and they end up believing a lie as a result. Well, we are all susceptible to this. We have to be on guard against this, against our own selfishness, and look primarily to please God in what we do, not ourselves. But there's also those who hear with a good and noble heart, who tune their ears to hear God, to hear what truth is from God. And Jesus talks about these in Luke chapter 8. The chapter talks about the parable of the sower. And in verse 15, he says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Acts 17, we see a group of people like this as well. The Bereans that Paul talked to in verse 11, it says that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Well, these were fair-minded. That means that they're willing to give Paul a fair hearing, to listen to him, and to not be biased in their thought, but listen with the intent to find truth. They were truth seekers, and they searched the Scriptures to make sure it was right. And this is the noble and good heart. It shows how they received or listened to the word with all readiness. They wanted to hear. They wanted truth. And this is the kind of listener we should be. Well, isn't the type of listener that we are indicative to what we want to hear, what we want to listen to? Many times it is. We tune our ears to certain things and block out others. You know, I was talking about the fact that Lacia would hear the babies crying and I wouldn't. Well, when the babies were born, the first few weeks, I heard them. But what happened? When I would wake up, Lacia would get up and go take care of them, and you know, I just go back to sleep because they're being taken care of. And I, you know, I didn't want to get too exhausted for work and so forth, right? Had other things in mind. So she would take care of what needed to be done. And I just roll over and go back to sleep. Well, I did that enough to where I didn't even hear it. It developed into just a blocking of the noise from my consciousness. We do that as well. We focus on our interests, of what it is important to us, and block out other things. So we have to be careful. This can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing, depending on what it is that we are focusing on and blocking out. But we condition ourselves to what we want to hear, what we want to listen to. We choose what we want to hear. I have a high-frequency hearing loss in my ears, what they call tinnitus, and some of you, I think, have it as well, where I have a constant ringing in my ears. And it's been there for decades. But when I first started getting it, it just drove me nuts. This noise all the time in my ears. And it was almost overpowering at first. But after I got used to it, now sometimes I don't even realize it's ringing because I'm focused on something else. Even though the noise is always there, I can block it out and focus and do what I need to do. And a lot of people do this as well. This can be used for good. Like I said, there's a lot of noise in the world today of distractions from the truth, and we have to be able to recognize that and block that out and focus only on the good, what God wants us to. Well, there's a lot of examples of people in the Scriptures listening to one thing versus another, and really good and bad. Take Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent came to Eve, what did she listen to? She listened to the lies of the devil instead of listening to God and obeying him. And as a result, sin and death enters the world through Adam and Eve. In 1 Kings, we also hear about in chapter 12, Rehoboam. Rehoboam being the son of Solomon. And when Solomon died, he had the opportunity to rule well or not. So there's a story there in chapter 12 where the elders come to him, and advised him to be easier on the people than Solomon was, because he taxed them and all that very harshly. Well, then he asked his buddies, the youth who he hung out with, what do you think? Well, they told him, oh, be harder, be tougher. He listened to his buddies, and what was the result of that? The kingdom split into two kingdoms. He lost 10 of the tribes to Jeroboam. And from then on, they were split. We have to be careful who we listen to and what advice we take. With Rehoboam, the friends, this is not just a singular occurrence. It's a result of a long-time association and an established habit of listening to them. Otherwise, he probably would have heard the wisdom of the elder men there and maybe done something else. But we develop habit. We train ourselves to what we listen to. We train ourselves to listen to God or to listen to our own desires or the world. It's up to us. We have to listen to God first above all the noise. Well, how do we respond to what we hear? Really, how we respond determines later what we actually hear. It's like I was talking about with the babies crying. The way I responded led to what I actually heard. And, a lot of opportunities I could have helped Laisha there that I didn't, because I tuned them out and worried about work, getting up in time for work and all that instead. But we need to establish good habits, respond to what God wants us to. You know, there's two responses. One we've been talking about in the Sunday morning Bible class in Acts 2:37, when the people there at Pentecost heard that they had crucified Jesus. They were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Well, there's a response. When they heard that, they wanted to make it right. And you see that 3,000 souls that day did. Well, later in chapter 7, around verse 54, you see again a group of people with Stephen pricked in their hearts with the same message. But their response was different. They instead gnashed their teeth and cried out, holding their ears, and a couple of verses later stoned Stephen as a result. Two different responses to the same thing. What we hear, what we want to hear, will determine what we allow ourselves to hear and what our actions will be as a result. Acts 17, we see another example of responses where Paul is talking, preaching the gospel there. And in verse 32, you see the response. When they heard of the resurrection, it says that some mocked. Some said, well, we'll hear more about this later. And others believed and followed. So we decide how we respond to what we hear. People will do that all throughout history. And that's just what we do. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13 we mentioned earlier, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples in verses 18 through 23. And you see that each example of the soil, they all heard the word, but it was how they received it that determined whether they bore fruit or not, whether the word stayed with them or was taken away. How we receive God's word will determine our future. How we listen to God will determine our future. Being a good listener requires work. It's a conscious effort. It involves focus. In Romans 10, verse 14, it talks about how it's essential. Hearing is essential. In verse 14 of Romans 10, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then verse 17, we hear, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hearing is vital. We have to hear the word. We have to hear what God has to say. And the word cannot be taken for granted. In Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17, Jesus makes the point that just being able to hear the gospel itself is a great blessing for us. Matthew 13, 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." you know, the prophets in the Old Testament didn't get the opportunity that they had with Jesus and that we have today because we have His Word. What a blessing we have to be able to hear this great, wonderful thing that God has done for us and the opportunity and hope we have through Jesus. Just hearing it is a great blessing. You know, we discussed this morning in class a lot of the blessings that are in Christ, you know, Ephesians 3:1. And all those are opportunities that we have if we listen and obey to gain those blessings. But sadly, still some will not listen and to their destruction. Matthew 10, verse 14 and 15, Jesus tells His disciples, as He sends them out to spread the gospel of the coming of the kingdom of God, the good news, He says in verse 14 of Matthew 10, "And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Well, if they don't hear, that's a terrible thing. Just refusing to hear. Acts 13, verse 44 through 49, when Paul and Barnabas are preaching at Antioch, they first preached to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were pretty upset about that. Notice what Paul says in Acts 13 and in verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Now, the Jews weren't open to hear the truth. And that's a powerful statement, that they judge themselves unworthy. When we do not hear and accept God's word, we are judging ourselves unworthy of everlasting life because He seeks those who love Him and want to obey and follow Him. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 41 and 42, "If we reject the gospel, even the men of Nineveh will rise up and the queen of the south will condemn us at the judgment." You know, He mentions those people, but in Nineveh, Jonah went there, and how many sermons did the Ninevites hear? One, as Jonah walked through the city, repent. And they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. Where, how many times do we hear, do our neighbors hear about the gospel? How many times do we invite people, say, to come and hear God's word or to study with us, and they say no? The opportunities are there all the time for people today. There was only one opportunity for the Ninevites, and they accepted that opportunity. They took advantage of it. So that's important to see. The Queen of the South, with Solomon, came up to hear his wisdom a long distance away, where almost every household has a Bible. It's at our fingertips to hear wisdom greater than Solomon. And we don't do it as a nation. A lot of times as Christians, we don't. It's with us. How hard is it to travel to this building on Sunday to hear God's word? Where she went likely thousand plus miles to hear. Well, it's a pretty clear concept. You know, if we're not seeking and listening to God, we are condemning ourselves. So we have to use our sense of hearing. It's important. We cannot neglect what we hear or stop listening once we start listening. There's a Hebrews chapter 2 speaks of a real danger of drifting away by not heeding what we've heard or learned as Christians. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" We have to give earnest heed. The solution to keep from falling away as Christians is to heed earnestly what God has to say for us. Pay attention to the Word. To search out truth. To look for it. You know, the taking heed carries the understanding of acting upon what is heard. Not just listening, but active listening. Being a part of it. Taking it in and incorporating what's being told into your life. Not just hearing it. Well, poor listening is often the first step of drifting away, because we're not internalizing it. It's just an interesting tidbit. Oh, okay, the gospel, that's interesting. I heard it. I was listening to you. And now I'm back in the world. There's a problem in our society that we don't internalize and take it seriously, what we hear. And that's what we need to do. To keep from drifting away, we have to guard what it is that we're hearing. If we don't protect our hearing, it can continue to be damaged. Our perception can be damaged. I wear earplugs all the time when I'm working with equipment. I mean, my hearing went with high noise aircraft and gunfire and any kind of electrical equipment using high-powered tools. Now I use earplugs. The last decade or so of my military career, I was on the hearing protection program. Okay? You have to wear earplugs every time you're around loud noises. I should have done it when I was younger. Well, if you do that, you protect your ears from being further damaged by the things that could damage your hearing and keep you from hearing what you should. Well, we should be on the spiritual hearing protection program to protect ourselves from intrusion, from the loss of hearing, not listening to what God has to say. We need to block the harmful sounds. You know, Revelation 2:25, Jesus tells the church there, hold fast what you have till I come. Don't let it slip away. Don't lose what you've heard and what you're acting upon. Don't let anyone rob you of eternal life. And don't just give it away. Well, the cares of the world and the false doctrines around can choke out the word, the truth, very easily in our lives. You know, just like the seeds that the sower threw in the thorns, they were choked out. We have to protect what we hear, to nurture it. And when the noise around us grows, especially in times of trouble, we have to focus more, to pay more earnest heed to what the Bible says. Look at God, to listen to what God has to say. When I have a lot of noise around me, I was telling James at lunch today, if it's so loud, the background noise tunes out everything. I don't hear anything. Sometimes I have to look at people's lips. I'll look down at their lips and body language, and I will do everything I can to hear what they're saying. That's what we should be when times of trouble come. When Satan tries to really drown out what God is telling us through the Scripture, we have to focus more earnestly on that and make sure that we are listening first to God. Well, when we listen first to God, it also enables us to recognize what is error, what is false doctrine. And what we hear is what we learn. If we don't hear it, we're not going to learn it. That's why hearing is first, right? There's another interesting tidbit about our ears. When a baby is born, the first 6 months of their life, they pick up nuances in languages and sounds that we don't as adults. At 6 months, they lose this ability, but by that time, they're able to speak any language that's being spoken around them. They can learn any language because they've got those nuances of that language. And with new converts, people who become Christians, it's important that what they hear as a new convert, the foundation of their knowledge in Christ, has got to be foundation on truth. Because what they hear, what they learn and internalize as a young Christian or a young convert in any denomination or whatever religion you want to talk about, that's what their building block is. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. It goes the same when you train them up wrong. A lot of times they won't depart from that. We see that from our denominational friends. They're so stuck in what they learned growing up that they're not willing to see and hear the truth as we give it to them a lot of times. So we have to be aware of that and educate our brothers, new brothers and sisters, correctly and really take that education seriously, because that foundation is key to their future success, what they understand, what they can listen to. And as we mature spiritually, we have to continue to listen to God, remain pliant to hear Him, but protect from false teaching. And isn't that why He gave us the position of elders? To help protect the flock against the predators that are out there who might sway people away from the truth. And we certainly as Christians should protect ourselves as well and each other from that. Well, the best way to protect ourselves from false doctrine is what? Know the Bible. You know, listen to what God has to say. Know what God has to say. And I would say any Christian who's been a Christian for a few years and hasn't read this cover to cover, shame on you. This is our guide. If we have a book, a novel, we're not going to flip through, read a script or a verse or a sentence here and there and assume that we know what the book's about. We've got to read the whole thing, or we don't know the whole story. We can assume what it means or what it's talking about, but until we read the whole thing, we don't know. Well, talking about how what you train up someone in their belief, that they stay with it, and the babies with their ears. In World War II, the Dutch underground had an incredible way of making sure no one infiltrated their ranks. Anytime a German, and German and Dutch is very similar languages, but anytime a German tried to infiltrate, or anyone, they would ask them to say a few certain words to them. And only someone who was born and raised Dutch can say it correctly or hear that correctly. All the rest of us, it sounds like we're saying it right, but we're not. Well, if you're raised in, if you grow up understanding a certain thing, you recognize when something's wrong. If we ground ourselves in truth and listen only to God and know what He has to say, we recognize when someone's saying something that's wrong or doesn't jive with the Scriptures. And that's what we should be like, to be so aware of God's will and open to this that we recognize. For example, if you're... I grew up in a world where there's a lot of profanity. You know, early military profanity was the thing. But after about 1989 or 90... one of our Air Force leaders said no more, and they started saying we're cutting it out. Well, years go by and you don't hear profanity, and then you hear one, it's like a slap in the face. Someone says a swear word that you're not used to hearing, that it really jumps out at you. Where when I was young, I heard all the time, and it didn't even faze me, right? If you condition yourselves to what you're listening to, if you're listening to good things, you recognize what's bad. Well, hopefully we appreciate the wonderful opportunities that we have to listen to God's Word. I mean, it is with us. We can carry it around with us every day, everywhere we are. We can study and know what He has to do. But how can we improve our ability to listen? You know, speakers work on speaking to be better at presenting things. But as listeners, we can also work on how we listen. How can we be better listeners? Well, I think we should make listening an integral part of our worship. If someone is praying, is our mind wondering, or are we listening and joining in that prayer? If we're singing a song, are we really reading the words? Are we really listening to what the song is saying? And do we agree with that? Or, you know, if we say we're doing something in the song, are we actually doing that? We need to listen to what we're doing, what we're saying. How we're praising God. If someone is up here speaking, are we really paying attention? You know, Johnny's got a great visual aids with the back showing his outline and even in the bulletin where you can follow along. But are you tuning in just to see how far along he is and how long it's going to be before he's done? Or are you really listening, you know, to what he's saying? Are we tuning in from the beginning to the end and trying to absorb the truth of what's being told? Whether it's a class or a devotional or sermon or wherever we are we really listening to what God has to say? do we tune our minds to that? 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. We have to do it with a heart, a paying attention to what we're saying, what we're praying, what we're singing. Really hearing the words and having that worship attitude. You know, imagine if the person up here was speaking with someone very important. Would you be more attentive? What if it was Jesus standing here? Would he have your rapt attention? Anyone up here who's speaking the truth is saying exactly what Jesus wants them to say. If it's truth, it's Jesus' word. It's the word of God. So are you really paying attention to what Jesus has to say? That's what we should be focused on. It's not how good the person is speaking. I mean, there's a lot of people better speakers than I am. But the message that we have, the truth of the message is what we should be focused on. Paying attention. And God's word deserves as much, at a minimum, that we pay attention. Well, it's a simple concept, paying attention. You know, today the attention deficit disorder is rampant in the spiritual world, isn't it? Even here, I find myself at times my mind wandering to something else. If there's a scripture that we go to and read, I even get distracted by the next verse or two. I'll start reading. Wow, okay, a few verses. By the time I get down there, I've kind of missed out what he said. You know, there's a lot of distractors, not just in here, but our minds can wander anywhere if we're not paying attention and focused upon what the person's saying. Well, we have to listen to all parts to truly understand something. As I mentioned, you can't just take a verse here and there and understand something. Context and the whole story is something that we have to focus on too. And as I mentioned, the more of your senses you can include, like Johnny uses a screen. Right now, you just have to listen. You know, you can watch my list, but that's about all. Maybe, but here's a great visual aid too. You know, if you're following along in the scriptures, you're using more of your senses, and it's getting more into you. Well, this is come to the more critical concept, which we've touched on throughout, is that you have to listen with a mind to act. You have to listen like you're preparing for something. Like you're getting ready. I mean, if this were a pre-departure briefing for some maneuver or operation, you'd say, well, I'm about to go into battle or something. I need to know what the plan is. You know, and it's the same with us. We're here to encourage one another, to build one another up, so we can go out and carry on what God wants us to do in the war against evil in the world, the war that rages within ourselves even. Being a good listener is not enough. You have to be a listener that is ready to act. Let's listen to these verses in Ezekiel, in chapter 30. And as you listen to these, think to yourself, is this talking about me? And I try to do that with a lot of verses. Is this about me? Is this something I need to focus on? Is he talking about me? And lots of times he is. The scriptures are. Well, Ezekiel, chapter 33, starting at verse 30, is this us? As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words. Great so far, huh? Come, let's listen to what God has to say. This is great. But they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words. But they do not do them. Are we excited to come together to worship, but then when we leave, we don't do anything about what we hear? We love the words. We love the truth that we hear in the Scriptures. We love talking about it. But what are we doing? Are we doing what the Bible says for us to do? That's being a listener who acts on what they hear. You know, we love to hear about Jesus, but are we acting on what we hear? We love to hear sermons, especially those that speakers present very well. Is it because of the speaker or the content? Sometimes. You know, I mean, when I was young, I loved one of the preachers that we had, and I was sad to see him go. The next guy I didn't think was as good. But I didn't understand, it's not about who is speaking, it's about what is being said up here and the truth of it, which you need to get to. Paul admits that he was not a great speaker, but he was good with content. He understood. He knew what he was talking about. If we're going to profit anywhere in our spiritual lives, hearing has to be associated with doing. We have to be workers for God. James 1, verse 22 says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, you can deceive yourself very easily, thinking that you're okay, because I love the Scriptures, what I understand is true, and that's maybe true. But if you're not doing anything about it, we could be deceiving ourselves and not be pleasing to God as a result. Don't deceive yourselves. As important as listening is, blessings come only if we're doing it as well as hearing it. Luke 11:28, Jesus said that he thought highly of those who don't just listen, but they listen with the intent to act. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. There has to be action involved, not just listening. Well, there's a lot that could be said. I'll just say a few words in conclusion. You know, we need to give God our full attention. We need to listen intently and move closer to Him. Not just hear, but react to what He has to say, what He's commanded. It's not too late to start listening. Okay, here's Joseph, and there's babies, and I'm not hearing it. What do I do? If I want to hear those babies, if I wanted to, I could have moved closer to that sound so that I could hear that, so it would be right there. And when I hear it, get up. Get up and take care of what needs to be done, to listen to that and take care of it. Well, it's the same thing with people in the spiritual life. If you're not hearing, if you're not doing, it's time to move closer to God and to listen. And when you hear, act. Do what He has to say. And that's the only way that we can be blessed. What is it that He has to say? Believe in my Son. Believe in me. You know, that Jesus rose from the dead. Confess that to people. Repent of all this bad stuff you've been doing. Turn away from it. And be baptized. And when you repent and you're baptized, you get the remission of sins. And that's a wonderful thing. It's the only way that we can have eternal life through Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. You still have to listen and act the rest of your life in service to God. You know, God's promised that if we love Him and really listen and obey Him, He's promised that we'll see and hear things that we cannot imagine, the wonders that He will show and we can hear. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. If you're not hearing God right now, it's time to answer the invitation and come close to Him as we stand and sing.